Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Nice. Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the man, Bill Dawes. Can we talk about your big news?
Nah.
All right. All right. Big news. Bill's in SWAT last week. So if you guys want to see SWAT.
Yeah, real important stuff there.
He's playing a pedophile, right? Or like a drug trafficker. I don't know what you're doing. Right? What are you doing?
I'm a guy who breaks up a pedophile ring.
There you go. Look at you.
Yeah, I get to be a white male and a hero.
Nice.
In 2021.
That's wow. That's crazy. Yeah, that's why you know it's like a TV show and not real life. Yeah, man, I did a show last week at this marijuana dispensary. Well, like they like not a dispensary. They like sponsored the show. It's like this, the one we did. It's like a cool studio, recording studio.
Oh yeah, yeah, that place, which is Capital. Like the minute you walk in, you get second hand high.
Yeah, and like I guess somebody got offended the week before, wrote like an email, blah blah blah, and you know. So we had
are you?
One of the comics, like, hey, can we not do so many, you know, misogynistic, blah 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 blah. And I was just like they're seeing a free show, they're getting free drinks, and they're getting free beer. Do we have to now tell the comics what they can talk about? You know, and like, but everyone else loved it, of course. But so I had to give a disclaimer. So I'm on stage and. You know what, I'm going to finish this joke, this story in a second, because right now we have one of the best fighters in the world is joining us. Arguably, I mean, like, he's got to be the number one contender. There's no way
he's my favorite guest you've had on the show since I've been co-hosting with you. I swear to God.
This guy right here is a monster. He's sideways. I can't really see him because you got to turn the camera the other way, Colby.
Oh, I'll turn it upside down? All right.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever done an interview with you. You didn't have an American flag in the back and a MAGA hat, like a Trump picture. This is
what are you talking about? The American flag
oh,
right
good
there.
Point. American flag right there.
Red, white, and blue, baby.
Good point. I meant like a right there. Yes, you're right. There is an American. I'm an idiot. I'm a complete
but
idiot.
Not a MAGA hat.
Yeah, yes. So, Colby Covington, how are you? You're looking freaking strong as hell. How are you, man?
I've never been better, Adam. I've been training hard. I'm ready to go get my world title. It doesn't matter if Marty's going to be showing up. Dana already said I'm fighting for the world title next, so I'm training accordingly, and we'll see who's going to get this work for the world title.
Now, I mean, that's 100% because I was at that first fight. It was so close. It was 2-2 going into the fifth. One judge had you winning. You could argue that you were winning easily. And then you slipped up a banana peel. We all know what happened. The judge stopped it early. But you were. It was like – such a great fight, and you had food poisoning. According to you, that you got food the night before. You were up till, you know, 5 a.m. So why wouldn't you get this next shot?
Yeah, why wouldn't I? I'm the number one ranked fighter in the world. You know, that's what the rankings say. You know, my resume speaks for itself. I've beaten 4 UFC champions. I've had pretty much a near flawless record. And, you know, Dana White said himself, me and Marty Juiceman's first fight was one of the greatest fights of all time that he's ever seen. And, you know, there's going to be a rematch. You know, there was a lot of controversy in that first fight. If I would have ended up winning that night, I wouldn't have been okay with it. I would have wanted to run it back because I want to leave no doubt in the fans' eyes that I'm the best in the world. And you know what? Marty Juiceman has left a lot of doubts in the fans' eyes. They don't know if he's the best because, you know, I was beating him. He faked a nut shot. I kicked him right in the liver, Adam. That would have been the fight over. He changed the whole momentum of the fight. And then obviously the early stoppage. I slipped on a banana peel in the fifth round. You know, I was still in the fight. I was still coherent, still defending myself. So we got to run this back, man. I'm sick of this talk that Marty's the number one pound-for-pound fighter. He's the greatest welterweight of all time. Come prove it. What have you done? Look at his last 3 wins, Adam. They're all against lightweights. Jorge Street Judas Masvidal, lightweight. Gilbert Burns, lightweight. The guy before him, lightweight. You know, he's like, what? Now he's calling out another lightweight. Michael Chiesa, another lightweight? Like, the guy's a joke, man.
Now you call him Marty. His name is Marty Usman. Well, not Marty Usman. It's Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, why do you call him Marty? Where'd Marty come from?
Because they say his name was Marty back in Omaha, and then he changed it to Kamaru when he got back. And that's what other people are saying.
He wanted to embrace his roots.
Hey, that's what he wanted to be called. When he went to University of Nebraska Kearney, because he wasn't good enough to cut it in Division I, so he had to go Division II. He wanted to be known as Marty because he wanted his African roots away. He wanted to be Americanized. He wanted to be an American fighter, an American wrestler. So that's just what he wanted. You know, it's not anything else.
All right. Well, so Ben Askren started calling him Marty, and it obviously bothered him. So of course, Colby picked it right up right there, because that's Colby. But you keep calling him Marty Juiceman. Why is he juice? Because he likes to smoothies?
Oh.
Why are we calling him Juiceman?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
That's Marty Juiceman. He's the CEO of EPO. Adam, let's be honest. How many guys do you see in their mid-30s that have craters? Literally, the craters on his face and back look bigger than they are on the moon. That's saying something. Bigger than the moon. He's got craters on his face, all over his back, all that back knee, all that acne all over his face. Come on, you're almost a 40-year-old man. You got acne still, bro? He needs to find a new scientist.
But he's always had that. It wasn't like that just developed.
I've never seen that. The last couple of years, that's came out more and more on his face, all over his back. He's never had that bad, man. That's bad, never, dude. And let's talk about his hairline, man. What happened to that hairline? Last time I kicked him in the face, he decided to let go of that hairline and just completely shake his head off that ugly-ass mug.
I honestly think that the fight that everybody wants to see, it was so close. You guys match up so well together. You both have amazing cardio, both have great striking, both have insane wrestling. Now you said in the past, this time you would rather wrestle him more, get him tired, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I didn't last time I wanted to put on a show for the fans, and you know, I wanted to make it a striking battle. And you know, I didn't use MMA. This is mixed martial arts. You know, I know if I fight him again, I can mix in the martial arts better than he can. I'm a more well-rounded fighter. And, you know, I'm going to make him – his lungs fall into the bottom of his chest. He's going to quit. You know, he was ready to quit last time. But let's not forget that he took 2 5-minute breaks, the fake nut shot and the fake eye poke. Barely touched him on his left eye. He's crying to the camera. The worst acting job I've ever seen. Worse than Aljamain Sterling. He won the title. Oh, my right eye, doctor. Look at – oh, sit on the cage. Oh, my right eye. Bro. There's camera, there's replay. They're going to see that you're a shitty actor and you get poked in the right eye. So too much controversy, Adam. Mark Not-So-Goddard gave him life rafts in the fight. He stopped the fight early. I was still coherent. I stood right up and protested right away. And as you know, the judges' scorecards were very tight. One of them had me up 3-1. One of them was 2-2. One had him up 3-1, which is atrocious to even think that he was up 3-1. How many times I wobbled him in that fight. So it's okay. Now we're here for round two, and we're going to give the fans what they want, a great show and an entertaining fight. And, you know, it's the two best welterweights in the world battling it out.
Colby, what's the holdup with the fight? Why hasn't it been set yet?
Yeah, Marty Juiceman, man, he's the holdup. He won't sign the contract. He's trying to look for easy way outs. He wants to fight some lightweight Michael Chiesa, who's a nobody. The guy was getting beat up by Anthony Pettis. I mean, getting beat up by Jorge Street, Judas Masvidal, getting beat up by Kevin Lee. Come on, these guys are jobbers at lightweight. And you want to come up to welterweight and think you deserve a title shot? So, you know, the holdup is Marty's looking for easy fights. He doesn't want to fight the best fighter in the world. And, you know, he wants to look for the easy ride.
Chiesa's a stud. I do think you deserve
a stud?
He's a stud. Come on.
I mean, yeah, he's a good guy on the fringe of the top 15. But when you're talking about the best welterweights and the best fighters in the world, he's not in the discussion, bro. He's not in the discussion.
It has to be you versus Marty. I'm surprised you guys didn't host Ultimate Fighter. I thought that would have been the perfect season.
Oh, God, perfect.
He turned it down. They offered him a spot on Ultimate Fighter. He said, no, I don't want to go on 6 weeks of TV with Colby. I don't want to fight Colby. He's looking for any excuse not to fight me. He's trying to fight Jake Paul. I mean, let's talk about it. Masvidal, he beat him on 6 days' notice. Oh, it wasn't enough time. Let's give him 6 weeks. Oh, 6 weeks isn't enough. Now he's probably looking for a Jorge Masvidal trilogy, and he wants to give 6 months.
Now you had to have been impressed, though, with the way he dismantled Masvidal that last fight. I mean, nobody's ever knocked Masvidal out. He was able to do it.
What are you talking about? Karina Dam's little brother, Rodrigo Dam, left Jorge Street Judas Masvidal unconscious. Oh, really? He left him. Everybody's knocked out, George. That guy's been dropped by everybody. He's been dropped by Michael Chiesa. He's been dropped by Rafael Sunsau. He's been dropped by Baboon. He's been dropped by featherweights, lightweights, you know, every weight class. He's a bum. Why are we talking about a guy that has almost 20 losses on his record, Adam?
Were you surprised that he put his hands down? Because I think he was doing pretty well until he let him hit him. And I'm like, no, not the guy. You don't want to let anybody punch you in the face. I don't care if a guy has no power. What was he thinking?
See, that's the thing, Adam, is it was such a mismatch. And, you know, Street Judas Masvidal is so one-dimensional. And not only is he fragile, that guy's the most fragile guy on the entire UFC roster. But, you know, he was so concerned with takedowns. He didn't want to get taken down again because he was going to gas out. So he wanted to keep the hands down, keep them low, and try and defend takedowns. But, you know, Marty faked the takedown. Boom, comes up with a hook right over the top and leaves him unconscious, dude. But the guy's got no chin. You know, he's shot. He's past his time, Adam. He's almost 40 years old. You know, the guy's washed up. He should never have been in a world title fight in the first place. It's a complete joke.
And I got to say, you know, I was worried, Colby, because when you left ATT, you know, it's an amazing camp. I'm like, I even called you that day. I'm like, yo, I heard you left ATT. You're like, are we on the podcast? I'm like, no, I'm Max. We're friends. Is this the right move? Now, a lot of times when people go to a new camp, it takes them a fight or two to kind of settle in. You look better than you've ever looked against Tyron Woodley. And Tyron Woodley is a great fighter. And you beat him up like I've never seen anyone beat up Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, you know, just my training, you know, at Colby Covington Incorporated, MMA Masters is completely different than it was at ATT. You know, at that big gym, ATT, you get lost in the shuffle. The coaches don't really care about you. They're just looking to get paychecks off you. They're not looking to see the evolution of these fighters and grow these fighters to the best in the world. Now I'm over at MMA Masters. I got my coach, Cesar Carnero, my striking coach, and we just personalize our training, and he's really here for me. He's not here for the paychecks. He's here to see me evolve as a mixed martial artist fighter. He's here to get me better, and we're getting better every single day. And then my jiu-jitsu and judo coach, Daniel Valverde, man, we put so much time into my takedowns, into my submissions. And now you're just seeing a well-rounded fighter, and you're seeing Colby Chaos coming to 2.0. And I really want to come back and show how much I've improved since I fought Woodley. You know, that was 8-9 months ago. I'm a completely different fighter today than I was 8-9 months ago with these guys. Yeah.
Now, I have to say this. I'm going to bet, Adam, $500 you're going to beat Usman, without doubt. I have my money on you.
Why am I betting on Usman? What?
I just have a feeling about you, Adam. Okay. Here's the thing, Colby. I want to ask you a legacy question. People always tell NBA players, if you could play anyone in the past, like Michael Jordan, do you think you could beat him? Is there someone from the past in UFC that you would love to fight, or you look at like, man, if only I had a shot with this guy that you think you could beat? Like, do you think you could beat George St. Pierre?
Oh, I don't think I could beat George St. Pierre. I know I'd beat St. Pierre. He was able to take a lot of guys down and hold them down and ground and pound. He's not taking me down. My cardio is completely different. You know, I've never been taken down in the UFC octagon, so he's not going to be the first. So, you know, George St. Pierre, his striking was very, you know, very basic, you know, very kindergarten. He didn't have a lot of tricks. He just had that really good jab, but that's pretty easy to counter if you're moving your head and you're using footwork. So, you know, I think George St. Pierre would have been a very extremely easy fight for me. And he was ahead of his time. He was just, you know, there was a lot of guys at that time that were one-dimensional. They were either strikers or they were wrestlers, but they weren't good at blending both.
I got to say, when you beat back to Woodley, when you beat Woodley and, you know, you beat him all five rounds, it was tough to watch. At the end,
it did go five rounds, Adam. He finished. He quit. He quit.
Before the fifth round. He popped a rib or something. Something happened. At the end,
I broke it when I kicked it.
At the end, he wanted to shake your hand. Even in between rounds, he wanted it, and you were like, I want none of that. I mean, you beat the guy. You guys are both great athletes, both really great people. I know both of you personally. Couldn't you have just shook his hand and been like, all right, man, good fight?
Adam, ask him what happened backstage. You know, ask him what happened backstage.
Tell us.
What happened backstage?
No, you know, we had a moment. You know, we talked. We figured it out. But when I'm in the octagon, man, I'm not there to make friends, Adam. I'm there to make money. And right. You know, it's not personal. It's just that guy's coming to kill me. I'm coming to kill them. So, you know, it's just business at the end of the day. I'm not trying to be friends with you. I'm not trying to shake your hand. I don't want any of this nice shit. That's not what the fans pay their hard-earned money to see. I'm here for violence, and I'm here to deliver, and I'm not there to make friends. So, you know, I'm not shaking nobody's hand when I'm in the octagon.
Even after you beat the guy?
Even after I beat him, on to the next order of business, on to my title fight. And I'm going to go celebrate and enjoy my time with my team. But when the cameras are still on and the fans are still watching, why would I act like I'm friends with some? You know, these aren't fake beefs, Adam. Like, most of these guys, they manufacture these beefs. These are real beefs, man. These fights that I, these fights that I get, you know, with Woodley, with Usman, with other guys that I fought, you know, these are real beefs. This isn't manufactured. So, you know, there's not gonna be any friends at the end of the day.
Now, would you take a fight with Masvidal because of beef? Because you have beef with him, would you take a fight with him?
Dude, we were trying to fight after the Woodley fight. Dana was begging him to fight me. He was like, dude, I'll pay you $2 million. I'll give you the Ultimate Fighter gig. I'll do anything. My son, Street Judas, the fragile guy in Masvidal, does not want to fight me. He will never sign a contract to fight me, and that's just facts, man. He knows I'm his daddy. You know, I used to literally just give him spankings and change his diapers every day when we trained at ATT. You know, I'm not ever going to sign a contract to fight me.
Now, they're saying Woodley's going to fight Jake Paul in a boxing match. That's the word on the street. Who's going to win that fight?
You know, I think Woodley will. I think Snake Paul, you know, what is he? A little Disney Lizzie McGuire star? That guy's not a real fighter. That guy's a joke, you know, and I'm sick of all these fighters. All these fighters are trying to give MMA community a bad name. Like, dude, leave it to the guys that are in their prime, dude. All these guys that are past their time, washed up fighters out of the UFC. I'm not saying Woodley because Woodley's a former champion. He's a great fighter. But Ben Askren, come on, dude. The guy can't even throw a punch. He's never thrown a punch in a UFC or any MMA fight in his life. All he does is hug the guy and try and kiss him and yell sweet nothings in the guy's ear. So leave the fighting and the boxing to the real fighters. And Snake Paul, the guy's a joke, man. He's little Disney star, not a real fighter.
Now, didn't he come to your gym and train?
Nah, he knows better than that to come to King Chaos's gym. He knows I run these streets in Miami. I'm the king of the 305, so because he knows better. Some amateurs went to go train with him, and they came back talking how they were beating up Paul, and you know, he's a jobber, he's a nobody, so, you know, these are amateurs that are saying that.
Mike Perry said he like, did pretty well against Mike Perry. I mean, doesn't Mike Perry go to your gym?
No, Mike Perry does not go to our gym. That guy, dude, he's a dirtbag, man. Like, I gave that guy a little bit of respect, and you know, I was willing to make amends, but the guy completely dissed my gym, man. He didn't even pay the gym MMA Masters. Like, he was supposed to pay the percentage. They brought him in the gym with open doors, giving him training, you know, freaking doing everything they could to help him be the best he could for his last fight. And then he does them dirty and throws them under the bus and doesn't pay the gym percentage to him. What a complete slime ball, man. He's never welcome in this gym.
Wow. Well, I thought you guys were cool. I thought you and Mike had made up and you guys were like, that sucks.
We would have been cool if you would have been respectful to my coaches, to my gym that I take pride in, you know, and to not pay your percentage when you're hopping gym to gym and not a lot of gyms wanted to take the risk of bringing you in anyways, and they took the risk and they put their time into you. And that was time that sometimes they took time away from me so they could help him get him ready for his fight. So the fact that he didn't pay the gym percentage, he's dead to me in my book, and I want nothing to do with that guy.
Now, they're saying Gilbert Burns is going to fight Wonderboy next. Wonderboy's a tough fight, man, because it's hard to find guys that emulate Wonderboy. And Gilbert Burns has amazing jiu-jitsu. That's a good fight. It's almost like a UFC 1 fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you think wins that fight?
Adam, don't you think it's funny that he calls himself Wonderboy? He identifies himself as a boy still. The guy's almost 40 years old. He's driving kids around his little karate van. What's so boyish about that? I mean, I know today the gender pronouns you can identify as whatever you want to identify yourself as, but the fact that he still identifies as a boy is a complete joke. And I think that's for all the fans, man.
But he's a nice guy. He owns a karate school. Come on, man. You can't put it.
He's a nice guy. Oh, what is this? The Ultimate Feelings Championship? This is the Ultimate Feelings
Championship. That's the line of the day.
So who do you think wins the fight? Him or Gilbert Burns?
I don't know. I don't care. You know, I'm only focused on what's ahead of me. I'm focused on Marty Juiceman. I'm focused on, you know, the world title fight. No matter, I'm fighting for the world title. Dana said it. Hunter Campbell, he's already came to me and said it. So whether Marty Juiceman, you know, wants to retire and give up his belt because he's scared to fight me because he's a coward or not, I'm fighting for the world title. And whoever steps in there, they're going to get destroyed.
Wow. I you know, listen. So everything you said, you've done. So, it's you know, couple hiccups here and there, but almost everything. So now the picture with Amanda Ribas, right? That was the one in that picture.
Amanda?
No,
you're talking about my Brazilian honey, Pauliana.
Yeah. Pauliana, what's your last name?
Viana.
Pauliana Viana. There's a picture of you guys together. she kind of has her hand close to your junk. It's like a shot. And then you put it up and you're like chilling with my babe or something. And then the internet went crazy. People were like mad at her because she's Brazilian and yada, yada. But she, now, are you guys together? Like, what's going on there?
Dude, we're just a couple of adults, you know, enjoying our life, Adam. You know, of course we were getting some bedroom cardio in. You know, we had to work on our cardio, make sure we got the championship rounds in, getting ready for our next fights. But, you know, it was nothing more than a friendship. You know, adults having fun. Can adults not have fun and sleep together anymore? Like, what's the big deal?
Okay, got it. You guys are just – now, was she jealous of you and all these other girls? Because it seems like every time there's a fight, there's you and three very promiscuous-looking hot women – making fight predictions. Did she get upset about that? Brazilian,
yeah,
a little bit, you know.
Yeah, she was upset. But she knows I really like Mamacitas, Adam. And, you know, she knows she couldn't tame this beast. So, you know, we just decided that it'd be best if, you know, we just go our separate ways. You know, she's in Brazil, here in the greatest country of all, the red, white, and blue, America. God bless America. God bless the troops. But, you know, I got a different girl for every day of the week, so I can't lock myself down to one girl. I know I'm the king of Brazil, and all the Brazilian honeys want to get with me, but, man, I got business to take care of here in America.
So, you know, I was a little nervous. When Trump was about to – the election getting close, it seemed like you were getting a little distracted. You were on a plane with Little Pump. You were with the Tiger King or at his ranch. You were playing with tigers. It didn't seem like there was a lot of training going on. First of all, are you and Little Pump still friends? Do you guys hang out? What's that relationship like?
Little Pump's my boy, dude. I got a lot of respect for Little Pump, what he's made for himself, the life he's made for himself, and just the hard work he puts in every day into his music and his tracks. So, you know, we went to watch Canelo a couple months back. We went, sat front row, watched Canelo knock out some dude, and you know, we have a good relationship. We love to chase honeys down here in Miami together, so... We're just two kings of the 305, being good friends.
Right. Now, was that, like, you guys were on that private jet. Was that paid for by Trump and the Republican? Like what was that? I'm following on Instagram, and you're just, like, playing with tigers a Little Pump. Like, how did that happen?
So, when we went to election night, he didn't get to come in the White House, but he came up to D.C. for election night, and I was in the White House the next day. We were flying back to Florida. He's like, yo, you want to go by the Tiger King in South Carolina? I was like, of course, dude. That'd be freaking awesome. And then, you know, his friend has a private jet. His name's JD. He goes by the Instagram Wires Only. And, you know, he sells all types of exotic cars and has some private jets. So, you know, we were able to hitch a ride with him on his private jet and, you know, get to go experience Tiger King and have a good time, have some mamacitas, do a little, you know, high altitude training up in the mountains, up in the clouds on our private jet. So, you know, we're part of the Mile High Club, baby.
Kobe, I have a question for Kobe.
So you bang Little Pump in a plane. Congratulations.
I bang girls next to Little Pump. You know, we had a little orgy with some other girls, but I don't like guys. I don't swing that way. And I don't have any problem with people that do that, to each their own. But, you know, I'm a ladies' man.
Of course, of course, of course. Now, I talked to your sister. I saw her in Chattanooga, and we both said we were very concerned that you were getting distracted. She's like, my little brother is hanging out with Little Pump. It was one of the funniest. By the way, it was hilarious. So me and your sister hung out. Very sweet girl. She was her sister's a former cheerleader for like the Clippers, right? She's a Clippers.
Adam, what happened with you and Colby's sister? Come on.
Nothing.
Now.
Absolutely, okay. Fucking nothing. We're not going here at all. I'm a married man, and his sister's like, she's a very classy woman. So nothing but a class act there. And plus, the last person you'd ever want to be your brother-in-law is Colby. I don't know. I think you'd be a good brother-in-law, and also like the worst brother-in-law. So were you impressed with Chimaev at all?
Who's that?
He's a 170 pounder who was like, he was like killing it. What?
He's in the top 10?
Not now, but it seems like he's like getting there. You never heard of Chimaev?
He seems like he's getting there. How many ranked fighters has he beat? I'm trying to put two and two together. How many ranked fighters has he beat?
He's not beaten any so far.
Oh, he hasn't beat any. You want to talk about fighters, Adam, when you're talking to a guy who's held the world championship, who's the number one ranked fighter in the world, fighting for the welterweight undisputed world title next fight, and you want to talk about guys who haven't even beat a ranked opponent yet?
No, I don't want to talk about that. I guess you have a point. But he's looking good. He's undefeated. He's a national champion from Sweden. He's a good wrestler.
You must love Swedish people, right, Colby?
He's like,
yeah. I love all types of people. You know, it doesn't matter your race, color, creed, religion. You know, I'm an all around guy. You know, I like everything. I have no. I'm not a discrimination type dude.
100%. Now, you and Candace Owens, you did a great job on her podcast. You guys are getting very close. What's she like when the camera's not on?
Dude, Candace is such a sweet lady. You know, one of the smartest minds I've ever had the privilege to sit down and talk to. Really knows, just really savvy, understands politics, understands facts more importantly. You know, I call her the ultimate facts champion, you know, because she always comes with facts. You know, you cannot label her the labels that people try and put on Trump supporters. Oh, just because you support Trump, you're racist. No, you can't call Candace racist. She's black, you know, so how are you going to call her racist? And, you know, she's a political activist, and she's looking for the America First agenda, Adam. She's trying to give people what they deserve, you know, to keep their money. You know, taxation is theft, you know, and she's looking out for the people of America, and she wants America First, and she, you know, she wants our borders closed. She wants, you know, she wants what all Americans deserve, the American dream.
Now, did you ever think, though, when you were like this young kid in Oregon in high school or even in college, that like one day you'd be, you know, Donald Trump, the president, would be calling you to congratulate you and you'd be the champ of the world and all this?
Dude, this journey for me, Adam, has been so surreal. Like, I could have never dreamed or imagined. Like, I always dreamed of doing big things, but I could never imagine that, you know, I'd be sitting in the White House, in the Oval Office, next to a sitting president, Donald Trump, the greatest president of all time, number 45, and getting calls every fight, and being a close family friend to the Trumps, and having friends like Lil Pump, having friends like Lil Wayne. You know, Lil Wayne's going to walk me out to my next fight. You know, I grew up listening to his music. He inspired me. Into his music growing up. The sky is the limit, the limit, the limit, you know, and having friends like Candace Owens, who's just a smart girl who's going places, you know, that's a future POTUS, you know, she stands for what's right in America, and she stands for the people, and just having the connections that I have now and the things that I've done in the UFC, man, there's nothing anybody can ever say that's going to ever downplay my accomplishments and what I've been able to accomplish in my life. I came from a very broke kid in Oregon to, you know, a very wealthy, you know, rich man now that's able to do whatever I want, whenever I want.
So, Colby, after you win the championship, which I have no doubt you'll win, what's next? Like, what do you have something beyond that that you're looking at? Are you looking at politics? Are you looking at something sort of past UFC?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the guys that don't look at their future and look at their next plan, you know, you always got to have your plan that you're going to next, you know. UFC has just been a launching pad for me to go to my next adventure in life. Of course, you know, I'm still young. I'm in my early 30s. I'm only 33 years young. And, you know, I still have the best years of my prime left in me. So I want to go out and tackle, you know, everything that I set out to do. But, you know, I want to go to WWE. I'd like to go win a world championship over there. There's some great athletes over there. There's some great, you know, competitors that I'd like to compete against. And I think that's something I see in my future until I'm 40. And then after I'm done, you know, with WWE and UFC, I'd love to get into politics, maybe be a governor, maybe look to join a congressional race. But, you know, I'm a fighter at heart, and I want to fight for people.
Now, there was a video or picture of you with, like, Ali Abdulaziz and Trump. I think Cejudo was there. Usman was there, I believe. He was there.
No, Ducklip Gaethje was there.
Justin Gaethje was there. Now, but if you have, like, beef with Ali, you call him Ali Abdulaziz, and he went after you. Did they tell you, listen, don't get into a fight in the White House? Like, did they tell you, hey, man, you guys got to squash the beef when we go here?
Yeah, he doesn't have the privilege because he's, you know, a terrorist snitch and allegedly, you know, he ratted out all his friends from Egypt. So he doesn't have the invite to ever go to the White House. But, you know, before my fight in Vegas with Woodley, you know, Donald Trump, the greatest president in history, was having a rally at the Las Vegas Convention Center. So we went to one of his rallies, one of his, you know, speaking engagements, and we're able to hang out with him backstage a little bit and then go listen to him speak on stage and fire up 30,000 Las Vegans and, you know, just enjoyed our time there. But, you know, like, I put all that personal stuff aside, you know, like, that's that's business. And yeah, we have a relationship where we hate each other with that guy that you're talking about. But, you know, when I'm in front of the president of the United States, I'm always on my best behavior, Adam. I'm not going to do something to jeopardize, you know, our relationship. I'm not going to put him in harm's way. I'm not going to do something that's going to make him look bad or make me look bad. So, you know, I'm the ultimate businessman.
So, but they didn't tell you, hey, like, you, what did you and Ali say to each other? Anything?
Nah, he knows better than to look at me, dude. That guy is the biggest slime ball in the world, man. He tried to come and fight me one time at the Palms, which, it got, you know, the I know that one of the outlets picked it up, TMZ, and it was a big thing. But he tried to swing on me at the Palms, man. Like, dude, you're not even a fighter. You're a manager. What's your record as a fighter? You're like, he was like 1-3 as a fighter. The guy's a complete joke. And the fact that he's going to come and try and swing on the number one fighter in the world was absolutely laughable. So, you know, I have nothing against the guy.
He was also,
you know,
with Usman, right? He was with Usman at the time.
Yeah, he was with Usman. But yet, why is Usman not coming over to try and swing on me? Because he knows what's going to happen if he swings on me. That he's going to get repercussions that he's not going to like. So, you know, why do you have your manager coming to swing on me? So it's just a joke, man. The guys are clowns. I mean, nobody – who trusts that guy? Like, that guy's the most dirty, freaking shady guy in the world.
And then there was a time that you and Matt Hughes went to the White House, and you guys seemed like good friends. Matt Hughes is a buddy with Dan Lambert. 3 days later, you said, the train is coming. Get out of the way. And that, especially you, Matt Hughes, who got hit by a train. Like, that was, like, one of the worst things that, like, I was like, oh, my – I go – what could he possibly say to offend people? There's nothing he could say because he said it all. And then I'm like, Jesus, a guy got hit by a train? Like, was that like, was Matt cool with that? Or were you guys friends? Or were you just fucking with him? Like, why would you say that?
Well, you know, yes, I did bring Matt Hughes to the White House. He didn't come with me. I invited him. He got lucky. Well, actually, I didn't invite him. At the time, you know, he was good friends with Dan. And I invited Dan. And we had another plus one. And Dan wanted to bring Matt, so I was like, okay, sure, yeah, whatever, but let's not forget why we're going to the White House, because I won a world title, and the president reached out to me, and he wanted to bring me to the White House, to the Oval Office, to hang out with him, so yeah, Matt should be thankful, dude. I made a dream come true of his that I brought him to the White House, man. He would have never went to the White House.
Why did you make the train joke about it?
You know, because, you know, there's consequences that come with, you know, coming to the White House with me, you know, like, I did him a favor, and if anything, you know, I'm giving him more publicity and more exposure and letting people talk about him more than anything. So, you know, he understood what was going on and why I did it, and, you know, it gave
him
some
I'll take to the White House, but I'm going to make a train joke 3 days later. That was the deal you guys had. Like, that's
he pissed you off. He must have pissed you off somehow.
Somehow. He said something.
No, for sure, dude. Like, before when he was, like, the champion of the world, like, the undisputed, like, the greatest fighter, whatever – we had trained together at ATT, and I saw him in Vegas for one of my fights. I was going to fight Mike Pyle. It was like my third UFC fight. And like, I saw Matt, and he came in like the lobby of the MGM where we were fighting at. And like, a couple fans were taking pictures. I was like, yo, what up, Matt? And he acted like he didn't even know me in front of the fans. Like, he acted like he was too good. Like, he was the best thing in the world, like, since sliced bread. And I was just like, you know what, dude, you're fake, man. You're not even a real guy, man. Like, you're not even a humble, down-to-earth person. So, you know, I don't like
you're
people like
one day you're going to get hit by a train, and then I'm going to call you out. Was that the moment that you thought to yourself, like, when he dissed you, you're like, do you have, like, a list of
Why did he get hit by a train, though, Adam? Did he not try and commit suicide? Because there's a lot of people that think that, allegedly.
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracies. I don't know. I wish Matt Hughes well. I just thought it was ridiculous. Anyway, back to this. Okay, so also –
back to how much pussy you get.
No. Also, I was talking to one of the coaches from Oklahoma State, the guy that beat Ben Askren twice. I always fuck up his name in the NCAA finals. And he was the assistant coach at OKC.
Chris Pendleton.
He said he recruited you to go to Oklahoma State. They wanted you there. They gave you a scholarship. They brought you in, and you didn't get along with anybody on the team, and they took the scholarship away on the recruiting trip, which is like the time that you want. What the fuck? What did you do?
I wouldn't say that story is entirely accurate, but I mean, there is some truth to it. There's some truth to it, but. You know, I just didn't mesh with the wrestlers. I've never really meshed with my teammates. Like, I'm always friendly and stuff, but, like, I have my own focus and, you know, I have my own thoughts and, like, you know, I have my own journey and my own way. So I think back in Stillwater, Oklahoma, some of the fighters, like, they were cowboys. Boy Hicks, and like they wanted to drink and they wanted to get rowdy and do this and that. And I just wasn't down with that, man. I'm a kid from Oregon who, you know, come from humble beginnings, and I don't know. I just didn't like the style. I decided not to go to Oklahoma State, though. Okay. They didn't take my scholarship back. I decided not to go to Oklahoma State because I wanted to go back to my home and be at Oregon State.
Because I thought it was a hilarious story. I'm like, I've never heard a guy. I'm like, man, I wonder what he did. Like that story and the story, which I tell all the time about you, Ben Askren was coaching at ASU. You were beating his guy that he was coaching. Then you said, you don't want none of this. He was an Olympian at the time. And you tried to wrestle the coach. Not only were you beating his kid, you wanted to fight the coach during a match. And I was like, man, like Colby is Colby. Like that's the most.
Oh yeah.
This is the most competitive fucking guy. Like one thing that you're not going to be is unprepared. Like that's why people don't want to fight you, because they know that like you're going to go 100% the entire fucking time, 110%. Yep. And I don't know anybody in the UFC that can match your pace. I honestly don't know. Or all of MMA. I mean, is there any guy that like, maybe like
Frankie Edgar back in the day?
Clay Guida back in the day. It's almost like you're Clay Guida, like a more skilled version of Clay Guida, of just like, you know, and that's gotta be brutal. Maybe that's why Usman doesn't want to fight you again, because he's just like, he doesn't want to train like he did, you know?
It's true. You know, I got a gift from God, you know, I got an extra lung that a lot of people like to say, and you know, I've been given the name, you know, the Cardio King for a reason, because I don't get tired, man. I just keep going and I push, and my mentality is different from a lot of guys. And going back to Marty Juiceman, yeah, for sure he doesn't want to sign the contract. He felt the pressure and the intensity that I bring when I step in that UFC octagon. He doesn't want to feel that again, Adam. He thinks he got away lucky the first time. He wants to claim, oh, I broke your jaw. Dude, you didn't break my jaw. That fake x-ray that's on the that's out there on the internet. Look at the x-ray. There's like the top tooth, there's like a cap on it. So it's hilarious that he tries to claim this narrative. Oh, I broke your jaw. You didn't break shit.
You broke your jaw, but didn't you also say, I think my jaw's broke during a fight?
Yeah, I did say, because dude, he cracked me with a good shot. He got a straight shot. I had my hands up, and that was because my training ATT. Hey man, can you quiet? I just got an interview to do for 2 minutes. Thank you. Sorry about that, man. So I said I cracked my jaw, but I didn't crack my jaw. He landed a clean flush shot. I had my hands down, but that was my training ATT. They're like the whole camp. They're like, hey guys, Colby, fight with your hands down. Surprise Usman. Come up with the shots to surprise them. Like, dude, why would I fight like that? It's so stupid. Now we train with Cesar Carneiro and Daniel Valverde, MMA masters. Everything is hands up, like head movement, move, you know, flowing and ducking the punches and blocking the punches. So that's why I'm a completely different fighter now. And he doesn't have that excuse to say, oh, I broke your jaw. Okay, if you broke my jaw, come break it again. Try and break it. Why? If it was so easy, why don't you come try and do it again? But deep down inside, Marty knows what I bring when I come to the UFC octagon. So, you know, he's going to look for any way to coward out and not fight me again.
Hey, Colby, do you need to, like, generate, like, sort of hatred for your opponent to really have your best fight? Is that something that is, like, do you need to have that beef to get the fight going? And also, Dustin Poirier, what's that beef about? I don't know that story.
You know, it's a fist fight, you know. So when you get into a fist fight, you know, there's – you know, it's not a friendly type thing. I'd rather have a lot of animosity built up where a guy wants to come and kill me. That's what I want. I want a guy to come out reckless, try and knock me out, try and kill me, because it's just going to show how good I am. And most of the time when they fight like that, they're going to fight emotional and they're going to wear out a lot quicker than I do. So I love getting them that way. And Dustin Doofus Soirier, because he's a soy boy. That's why I say Soirier, because he's a soy boy. The guy's a complete clown. He claims, oh, I'm doing this Good Fight Foundation. It's for the people. I'm trying to get back. No, it's not. You told me when we were at ATT, you did that foundation because it's a tax write-off for your business in the UFC. So if he wouldn't be so fake to the people and lie to the people about why he's doing things, then I would be cool with him. I'd be like, you know, I respect the guy. The guy's not everything he says. He claims to be this father figure, this nice guy. No, he's not. There's people that walk at the gym will be like, hey, can I get a picture of Dustin? He'll look at him and be like, no, and he's walking and he walks right by. Like, what kind of fighter is that? Like, I always stop for people to take pictures if they want to, you know, take a picture with me. Always respect the fans that pay their hard-earned money to watch us fight. So I have a big beef with Dustin Soirier because he talks more than he walks. He was talking before Reckless, like, oh, it's on site when I see Colby. Dude, I seen him like 3 or 4 times. He put his head down and walked right away because he knows who daddy is. So you know, I just have people that – I have a thing with people that aren't a man of their word like myself. And, you know, Dustin Soria is one of them. He's not a man of his word.
You are a man of your word. I mean, you're a guy that, like, you know, from day one when you had your first fight, you were on the podcast to, like, now – you still come on. There's not like you're a guy who always gets back. You're a loyal dude, and I gotta say, man, like fame has not gotten to your head. You've always been a jerk. So so that's now John Jones. Is he going to fight at heavyweight?
No, he's not fighting at heavyweight, man. He's done. He doesn't have the right scientists, the right juice to do anymore. He knows he's done. You know, he's trying to get one more cash grab and hope that it's so much money that he never has to do anything. But I don't think he's ever fighting again, Adam. I just don't see it, you know. If he wanted to fight, he would have fought already. You know, he would have went back to light heavyweight and fought Jan or something, but he's too small for heavyweight, and he's just looking to get a big cash grab with Francis, but he knows he's going to get knocked out, so he's trying to get as much money as he can to take that ass beating.
Well, listen, Colby, thank you for coming on the show. You said it all. Man, I'm so looking forward to seeing you back in the octagon.
Yeah.
I mean, you back up everything you say. Nobody trains harder, man. Nobody trains harder. I don't know how you have time to do it all. Like to fuck a girl every day of the week, to get a girl, bang porn stars, to go hang out with Little Pump, to hang out with. Now, have you called Trump since he lost, or since people said he lost?
Yeah, we didn't lose, man. We know that it was a rigged election. There was no certification of any of the mail-in ballots. We know that it was a complete circus. There was ballots of millions of votes that were Trump votes that were thrown under the rug. So we know that our government's corrupt and they stole the election from us, but it's okay. 2024 is a proving point, and he's coming back in 2024, and he's going to make America great again. He's going to keep America great, and he's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. You know, like look at our gas prices now with Biden, man. The gas prices, inflation's going up. You know, our borders aren't safe. We have criminals coming into our country. You know, there's just so many things that Biden doesn't care about this country. He's looking to do backhanded deals and make himself rich. All these dirty, swampy politicians want to make themselves and align their own pockets, but they don't want to look out for the American people, the hard tax-paying people. So, you know, Trump's coming back to make America great again, and, you know, people will see
that. Is it true that you never voted, though, before Trump?
What?
Is it true that you never voted before Trump?
No, Trump was the first time that I ever voted. Dude, I knew that the votes never mattered before. I was like, dude, I'm not going to vote, man. I know my vote, my one vote is not going to make a difference. They don't even take into account my vote. It always goes into, you know, the main political vote that they care about, you know. It's all rigged, man. It's all work. Everybody knows that, and there's no honesty behind our election, and there's no integrity behind, you know, our election.
So who's tonight's girl, by the way?
Tonight's girl?
Yeah.
I got a nice little Venezuelan Agustina I'm going to go see. And, you know, we're going to get some good bedroom cardio. And then I'm flying up to Orlando tomorrow. I'm going to go enjoy my weekend in Disney. And I got a couple chicks up there.
Fuck Minnie Mouse.
This girl, Carolina, the Italians. So, you know, I like different flavors. I got to have a different flavor for each day. I got a Venezuelan tonight. I had an Argentinian last night. I got a Colombian tomorrow. I got an Italian this weekend. So, you know, I'm making the round.
You ever do pumpkin spice latte? Just a straight down the middle. White girl?
No.
I had that growing up my life. So I'm not really into the white girls. I like the mamacitas. I like the African girls a lot. Like, I love a dark-skinned girl, man. That's just, oof. I'm drooling every time I see a light-skinned dark girl.
I've seen your pictures. I'm like, you know, Colby definitely mixes it up, you know. Now, good for you, man. I'm so excited. Now, who do you like, Conor McGregor, Poirier 3?
You know, I think Dustin Soria is going to get it done. I honestly think Conor McGregor, he's done, man. He's cashed out. He made all that money with the Mayweather fight with his whiskey company. He's not hungry. He's not the same guy that was waking up early in the morning to go out there and accomplish his dreams. Now he's got a big bank account, and you know, he's lazy. He's not hungry anymore. So he's looking for one more fight. And I don't think they're going to go very well for him.
You said it all, Colby. Have a good weekend, man.
Yeah, dude, you're the best. You're going to make me rich in your next fight.
Take care, brother.
Make your bank account great again. At mybookie.ag.
Thanks, Colby. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
You too. That was Colby Covington.
Dude, that guy's the best. I'm surprised he wasn't at the Capitol during the uprising.
Right? Oh my God, man. He's funny, dude. He's like Chael, like three.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I don't think any of that's an act. I think Colby is just like, man, one. You think so?
You hang out with him. He's the nicest guy.
Well, he seems like a nice guy, but he really believes what he says, though.
He's an intense guy. All he cares about is winning. It's almost like when you watch the Michael Jordan documentary. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. I got that feeling.
He would like just make up people that like he had beef with that didn't even really that didn't say stuff. Like he had to find one thing that he didn't like about you to get him. That's kind of Colby. Like he's never gonna come in fat. There's no off season for him.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately for Tyron Woodley, and I love Woodley. He has other interests of being a rapper and an actor, and it seemed like he would sort of get a little out of shape and then come back down and come back. Whereas Colby, it's just this is it. Like, you know, he just wants to, you know, he just wants to train, and that's the thing. It's like, but the difference also is that Usman's kind of the same way, or exactly the same way, which is why they're so such a good matchup, man.
They are a good matchup.
I mean,
but be honest, like Adam, I know you love Colby, but like you'd put your money on Usman. Come on.
No.
Really?
First of all, I wouldn't put money on Usman even if I thought he was gonna win, because then I gotta have Colby back on the podcast and like I'm a complete fraud, you know. Usman, by the way, used to come on the podcast before he was the champ, became all the time.
See, it's amazing. Colby will if he wins, he'll still come back on your podcast, I bet.
Yeah. Usman came on a lot. He was actually asking to come on back in the day. Hey, let me come on your show. Now
it's just like comics.
You know, a girl, a very attractive, amazing fighter, Cindy Dandois is joining us from Belgium. This girl has had a crazy career. She's in the $1 million tournament. She could still win it. She lost her first fight, but she could still come back and win the $1 million for the PFL. The first fight was very close, by the way. How are you, Cindy? What's going on?
Hi. I'm okay. I'm in Spokane now, so I'm not in Belgium for the moment.
You're not in Belgium. You're in Spokane. Are you with Misha Tate?
No, Misha's coming next week.
So what are you doing in Spokane, Washington?
I train at Sikjitsu with Rick Little. You know, home base of Chiesa and San Cecilia in Giuliana.
Yeah, I love that. American Bong Team, I used to call them.
Yeah.
Who are you staying with?
I stay at Rick's mom's house.
Rick Little's mom's house. That's pretty badass. Nice.
Uh-huh.
Now, by the way, Rick Little's Giuliana Pena's old boyfriend / trainer. Really good coach. Very underrated coach. Also, Chiesa's trainer. And he's a guy that like nobody ever talks about as like a great coach, but he's a proven guy and he knows what the fuck he's talking about. So I'm really happy you're with him, because he's a great coach. By the way, it was like weird, but it was like Giuliana had her ex-boyfriend and her current husband work in her corner, which was also like, I think crazy that Pena had that, but I'm not sure if Pena, I don't know what's going on with Pena. She's fighting for the title, by the way. Right? Are you getting her ready to fight Nunez? Cindy?
No, she's not here for the moment. She's in Chicago. Yes?
Oh, she's in Chicago. Got it.
Yes.
Now,
I think she starts a little later.
Good. Now, your last fight, it was a close fight. You had her in that guillotine in the third, a standing guillotine. How close were you to finishing it?
I thought it was really close, but I thought, like, because I wasn't able to like pinch it totally, and I thought I was like being the aggressor of the fight. So I was like, you know, I just let it go and I keep on fighting. If I would have known I was behind on points, I would have probably like tried to guard jump or something. But I felt I was the one pushing all the fight. So
they almost should have open scoring in PFL for tournaments. Almost, I think that would almost help for you to know. It was a close fight. I thought you were. Because your striking has never been your strong point. You're a black belt in judo, purple belt in jiu-jitsu. But your overhand right was looking good in that fight.
I know. I've been working on it.
Now, by the way, so Bill Dawes, Cindy has 6 kids.
Whoa.
She's got 6
yeah.
kids.
Did they all come out of your body?
No, 4 of them came out of my body.
Wow, that's amazing.
So you adopted 2 or?
Yes, I fostered 2.
Oh, wow. So she's got 6 kids or 4 came out of her body. She gave birth like 2 months ago, right? And you had a
five months ago.
Oh, five. Still 5 months ago, and you're fighting 5 months later. That's,
you're a superhero. My God.
Insane. Did you just have to get out of the house? Is that what happened? Was the kid driving you crazy?
No. Actually, no, because, you know, my mom was very sick. She got cancer, and PFL delayed everything like a whole year. And I was like, if I'm going to get another baby, I want my mom to be able to meet him at least. So I just squeezed getting the baby in the year I was off.
Got it. Okay. Well, listen.
So you're just a baby-making machine, my God.
Your kids are adorable. Yeah. And they range. Like, obviously, one kid's 6 months old, and your daughter's, what, like 22 or something? Or
My son is 5 months old, and my oldest daughter is 19, almost 20.
Almost 20. Yeah, you got like it's crazy. Now, so Bill, her story, it's kind of like what's that movie that Kevin James is in, Here Comes the Boom? Where he's gonna like lose his school.
And he was like a teacher, right?
Yeah. So Cindy was also a teacher, and then COVID happened. She lost her gym. So then she started an OnlyFans account.
Yes, I did.
And
go on.
On this OnlyFans, it's like she's taking a bath. There's like some like other girl involved. There's like, I don't know what you guys are doing because I haven't joined because I've married and my wife would be like, what the fuck is this? I don't know.
Indeed, you cannot call it research.
Yeah, I can't do my research, but there's this hot black woman that you're like, we're going to have some fun tonight. And then I don't know what happens. What is going on here, Cindy? Talk to me.
It's nothing too crazy, though. Like, it's little, you know, cock teasing, I would call it. I don't have men or something really crazy on it. But, you know, I had, like, deep debts. And, yeah, everybody can judge whatever they want. But if you have children and you have to buy them food and pay their school and everything, you know, like, the bills has to be paid. And my gym went, like, into a bankruptcy. My school job, because of COVID, like, I had way less hours to work. It was like a very hard time, you know? So I just like took responsibility, I guess. And just like, you know what, since I'm getting 25 penises in my inbox for free in my Instagram, I can better get paid for it.
Right. We're only judging you that you're hot. That's how we're judging you.
No, she's smoking hot. But then there's like, hey, I got a new toy. This should be fun. And then, so then you're just like.
She's educational. She's still a teacher, you see?
Right. Educational. I eat how to put a condom on a banana with my mouth.
What? Oh, wow. You can put a condom on a banana with your mouth?
Because, no, it's these for me.
It's what for her? I don't know what.
Are you single?
No, it's for me.
Are you single?
No, it's for you. Got it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
you got fired from teaching, though, right? They saw people found out you had an OnlyFans account, and you got fired from teaching? Cindy?
Oh, I lose.
Are you back?
Bill,
can you
lose connection.
Oh, here you go. Now, did you get fired from teaching?
No.
Oh, okay. I heard you got in trouble. So you didn't get in trouble?
No, because first of all, I don't have any men on my OnlyFans account, so I don't really fuck around. That's one. Right. Second of all, it's all plus 18, and they need a credit card to go on OnlyFans, you know? Right. Yeah. So it's actually, the children are not allowed to go on it. It's my private life. And it's copyrighted. So people who spread it are doing something illegal. I'm not doing anything illegal.
Good. You know? Oh, good. Get them happy. Look, you're feeding your family.
Yeah. Are you still teaching? Do you still teach?
Well, now I'm not because I'm in a tournament, but I'm going back to teaching in September. Yes.
Good. Now, you're in. Who are you fighting next to the PFL?
I don't know. I'm waiting every day to hear.
Okay. So listen, we got to get the fight to the ground because nobody can fuck you on the ground. You have a win over Megan Anderson in a minute. You beat Marlis Conan. You were on a 5-fight winning streak before this last fight. I mean,
what did she do wrong, Adam? What did she do wrong in this last fight?
She kept it standing, and the other girl was smaller than her and quicker. So she was like, it was almost became like a point karate fight. So the girl was outpointing her, was just but landing more. Cindy was landing the harder shots, but the other girl was landing more shots.
And so, running, she was running. I felt she was running. She didn't want to get hold or grabbed or anything.
Yeah, so the other girl won on points, basically.
Okay.
That was my opinion, right? And I mean, am I right, Cindy? Is that pretty much what happened?
That's what happened. Like, I always come to finish, and she's played like a technical game.
Yeah, but the other girl's lighter. The other girl fights at like 125. Like, so she's
No. 145. She fought for big time at 145.
Oh, because she seemed a little quicker. But when Cindy grabs you, she's got like bare strength.
So, Cindy, I want you to grab me so I can feel it.
No, she has this bare.
You want me to grab you?
I
bet.
Sorry.
Cindy has like. What is this? She's got ridiculously like good hands and strength. But so
also, not a lot of people are black belts in judo.
Yeah, she started when she was 5 years old, so she's been doing it her whole life. But and she's also. She also dates like these huge like football guys. Like she dated like huge black guys. So she's like she's used to like just big guys like taking her and just no, I'm kidding. Anyway, but I'm saying she right. So like so.
I wish.
You wish. Now last time you had a crush on Rumble Johnson, and then you said you were. Chasing
I still have a crush on Rumble Johnson.
You said you were chasing him around Las Vegas. Did you ever find him?
Of course. What?
Did you ever find him? Did you ever? No. Okay, no kissing.
I'm not talking about my private stuff.
Okay,
it's not my only fans.
I'm not gonna. Okay. And then I saw you with Ngannou, and I was like, oh my god. I don't know what happened there. But it seemed like
those would be beautiful babies.
She came to my comedy show with Ngannou and Misha Tate, but they told me I couldn't make fun of Misha Tate. So all my because Misha gets sensitive. So she's like, I'm only coming if you don't make fun of me. So I just made fun of Cindy the whole time, but she was a great sport.
It's fine.
Yeah, she's
I don't care.
She doesn't. She's adorable. I don't know.
I don't get it. Anyways, language barrier always hits me, so I'm like, okay, yeah. Fine.
Got it. So now, do you have a boyfriend now, or a husband, or who, are you dating anyone? So you're single with 6 kids. How come? Now you seem like a catch. You're beautiful. You could fight. You're sweet. You're sexual. You seem very open.
Look, yeah.
Why are guys? How come? What's going on?
Because she makes more condoms, apparently.
I don't know.
What? Something's going on here. Is it because you get bored too easily?
It's not my fault. No, I don't know. I think they always underappreciate me.
People underappreciate you. They take you for granted.
No, the thing is, you know, I'm always working. I'm always busy, and like, of course. Like I invest in my kids, in my sport, in my gym, in my school, in everything. And maybe like most guys don't like strong women, I guess.
I don't understand. I think you're a catch. I'm married, obviously. But if I wasn't, I'd go for her. I don't know if you go for me. But I would say you're just like a sweetheart. You're so nice. You're always posting these nice pictures. And then the other pictures that you post, you're like in lingerie and like you're hot. I don't know what it is. Who's that girl? Is that you? Are you into girls? Who's that other, the black girl that you're always with? Who's that girl?
Oh, well, she's one of my best friends. Her name is Debbie. She watches my baby when I'm not there. So that's awesome. No, I know her for years and she's a very good friend of mine. And I'm not a lesbian or actually I'm not even bisexual, but like maybe a little curious. How you say that?
Yeah. Bi curious.
Yeah.
But do you want any more kids? Do you want any more kids?
I really would love to have more kids, but it's always the guys I have to deal with to get the kids. That's the problem.
Bill, talk to me. You're a relationship expert.
If you want a donor, just slide to my DM.
Why is Cindy single? Like, I mean, what's going on? What do you think the problem is here?
Well, obviously, it's by choice, right? It's by the other guy's choice because I don't want to deal with her because she's crazy. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's by choice.
I'm she's a little crazy. You are right.
You are. You
must be really picky, Cindy, right?
No, I'm not picky, but I always pick the wrong guys, like the ones who are in trouble or the ones who don't want to work or the ones who are lazy and on their butt or the ones who don't accept my children. That's the problem. I think I need help for that, like counseling or something, to like just pick the right guys.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, you also go for guys that are married.
No, I don't go for that. I don't do.
You go for bad boys. You go for bad boys, though, right, Cindy?
I go for bad boys. Yes.
Bad boys. Yeah.
Like, do you go on like jail websites and like pick the guys there, like the guys that are in prison? You're like, oh, I could change him. Is that what you want? No.
But I went on Tinder one time and I got catfished so bad that I'm never gonna do that again.
Yeah, Tinder. Right. Well, listen. So, Cindy, Dandwell, we don't know who you're fighting. But we're going to get it to the ground. You almost got it. You had the right game plan. She just rushes in. You got to see this girl. She rushes in. She's got a big head. Your head movement got better. Your head movement got, your striking got much better than it was in the Alexis Davis fight. I got to say. So much better, Cindy.
Thanks to my coach, Carlos. He worked very hard on it.
He did a good job. The problem is that before, you're so unconventional that your shit sometimes worked. Because she would flip out on people, and then they didn't know how to fucking deal with her, so then end up on the ground. Well, now her striking is better, but people can sort of defend against it a little bit because they know, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like the erraticness was helpful to her because all she has to do is get the fight to the ground, you know? And then she's gonna win.
And I feel like if it's black belt in judo,
but at least people are not making fun of me anymore for my striking. That's so.
But would you prefer to win? Would you want to win or be made fun of?
They always make fun of me. I don't get why.
Don't make fun of her. Don't make fun of her. So Cindy Dandwa, she's thirsty, looking for a man to take care of her six kids.
A nice Jewish accountant. I think that's what you need. You need a nice Jewish man. Like that's a big favor.
A Jewish guy. A nice Jewish guy. Would that excite you?
What? Jewish guys? I don't know. You know what
they
I
like. They like kids. They like having big families.
Yeah. A nice Jewish guy. I think that would be good for you. So here we are. Cindy Dandwa, thank you for coming on the show. Where can people, if I want to go on your OnlyFans account.
To donate.
That's what you have to do.
What do I do? Just go look up Cindy, Dandois.
You can go to on my link tree on my Instagram and there is a link.
Now, is it true that your OnlyFans paid for your last training camp?
Yes, it's like paying, like even now I'm surviving on it because I cannot teach now because I'm stuck in the United States. So the money I earn to pay the bills at home for my kids and provide for them and to live here, it's mostly coming off my OnlyFans, yes.
Mm. Got it. Well, thank you so much, and take care, and keep up the good work, Cindy.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Cindy Dandwa.
She seems really sweet.
How funny is she?
What a complicated person that is. Six kids, fighter, teacher.
Crazy, right?
Tatted up.
I mean, like, crazy, right? I mean, but, like, fun.
Fun.
I mean, that would be a fun.
I think if you hung out with her one night, like, just as a friend, like, a group, by the end of the night, you'd be like, oh, I get it.
Well, why, she's single?
Yeah. I just have a feeling.
I don't know. I feel like she would, it would be crazy. I just feel like it would be, like, hilarious. I don't know. I'm entertained by people like that. So anyway, back to the first story. I'm on stage and there's two girls on stage. I'm on stage and there's a guy and girl. And I was like, oh, how long are you dating for? Yada, yada. And I was like, how'd you get her? And the guy goes, oh, I used to be a lesbian. And we dated when I was a girl. And I'm like, oh, and now you transition? He's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm like, well, whatever doctor you went to, that's the doctor people need to go to. And then they were dying laughing because I was like, okay, well, I guess was she bored with you as a girl? And that why you changed? And I'm like, now that you're a guy, are you like lazy and just want to watch football all day? I actually had the tape.
Well done, man. Yeah. So he wasn't lying. He really did transition.
100%. Like it was, and everyone else knew it but me. Like, yeah. It was like a group of 10.
Well, you handled it perfectly because you could have gone the wrong direction. It could have gone awful.
Yeah, I think the wrong direction would have been to, like, you know, make it just normalizing it is the best. Well, thank you, Bill. You're the best.
Thank you, man. It's a fun one.
Anything you want to plug?
Hey, you can check out my SWAT is streaming now. My episode is SWAT Whistleblower. Yes. I don't know if it gets me residuals. Maybe I get an extra penny in the mail. And then, what else? No, I don't know. Nothing right now.
You can check me up, adamhuntercomedy.com, my full schedule. Thank you. Thank you, Colby. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Thank you, man. Jim.